my hope is in the Lord. From this time on, evermore, oh, my hope is in the Lord.
The living sacrifice. He is my source of life.
My hope is in the Lord. From this time on, evermore. My hope, yes, my hope is in the Lord.
Come with them.
Oh, yes, they do. Hallelujah.
To meet the sinner in his brokenness. He offers healing and forgiveness.
Thank you, Father.
And those who trust in him will find our hearts at rest. This time on,
evermore.
My hope, yes, my hope
is in the Lord. From this time on,
from this time on.
Is that your stand tonight? My hope is in the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of God tonight? Praise the Lord. Just a wonderful privilege that the Lord has given to us once again to get to come and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in the house of God on Saturday night. Play a little bit more of that, brothers. Just sing it one more time, if you will. Sounds good, guys. Sounds good. Give us that. Sounds good. God bless you. Good to see you tonight, buddy. God bless you. Good to see you, buddy. God bless you. Good to see you. God bless you all.
This time on.
You be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at our prayer request. So dear fellow citizens of the kingdom of God, I need your prayers to succeed in life as I am on the rough side over finding a job to sustain a family. Thank you, Johanan. So we just commit that prayer request to the Lord tonight. Ask God to provide the job. He's able to do that, isn't he? Amen. Sonia Babb asked for prayer, not feeling well. Let's just remember her as we pray tonight. Also want to pray for Brother Kenneth Yance. He's not feeling good at all right now. Just if you would remember him in prayer as we pray that the Lord would be mindful of him. Want to pray for Sister Irene Pierce sends this in to please pray for my daughter Rachel and husband Bryce about a situation that they are facing and that the Lord will lead and guide them since they have returned to him. Thank you, and may God bless. So we just commit that prayer request unto the Lord tonight. Sister Georgia Havens Franks has a special prayer request tonight, special things that the Lord, she's just seeking the Lord for, needs in her body. So we'll remember her as we pray tonight. Brother Bert Thomason sends this in. Brother Eddie Jablonski Sr. and family, they want to thank the church for prayer for his elderly mother's recent surgery. The Christian doctor that did the operation said that it had to be the Lord that enabled him to do the difficult job and receive such a successful outcome. She's coming home from the hospital today and appreciates prayer for a continued good recovery. Thank you, and may God bless. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Want to thank the Lord for that. Brother Gene Lehman sends this in. Want to have a special prayer request tonight here for Brother Bert Gravely. He was severely burned, as in the hospital, in a lot of pain. So we certainly want to pray for our brother that the Lord would just be mindful of him, give him a healing touch in his body. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight. If you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we're serving a mighty big God, aren't we? We're serving a risen Savior. Do you know that? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet tonight as we get ready to pray. Let's just sing that little chorus. I know that my Redeemer lives. Let's sing that tonight just before we pray. Are you glad He's alive tonight? Are you glad that you know He lives? Are you glad of that tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer. Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Gene Terrell, come tonight if you would. Lead us to the Lord in prayer. Let's just commit these requests unto the Lord, believing that His divine will be brought about on every need that we're asking Him about tonight. Appreciate Brother Gene, don't we? Amen, buddy. God bless you. Love you, Brother Gene.
Let's bow our heads, please. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come into Thy presence tonight with thanksgiving and with praise and honor. Father, because we come into the presence of the King, of the One, Lord, of the Absolute. We come into Thy presence and we come to You with thanksgiving because, Lord, I hold in my hand request. And Lord, there was hands went up throughout the audience and no doubt around the world, Lord Jesus, needing prayer tonight. And Lord, I pray that You just move, that You just come down and touch and heal and raise up, Lord. And Lord, we want to be mindful and thank You, Father, for the report of the elderly lady, Lord Jesus, that had surgery and the doctor's testimony that, Lord, it was You that did it, not him, but You. I thank You, Jesus, and praise You. Now, Lord, I pray for Brother Bert Gravely tonight that struck my heart, Lord, because Bert and I go back a long way, Lord. And I pray for him tonight that You'd reach down Your hand to him and touch him and raise him up, Lord, and make him whole. And these others, Lord, they're just as important as Bert's request is to him. Move for the glory of God, we pray. Have Thine own way and will in the remainder of this service, we pray. Amen.
Bless you, buddy. Appreciate that. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming, we pray this service will be a blessing to those folks as well. We've got a lot of folks out of town this weekend. Just want to pray that the Lord would give them traveling mercies as they're here and there in different places. But we're here tonight. And we have come to worship the Lord. We have come to have church. We have come to worship the risen King. Are you glad about it tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's sing that song tonight, Brother Harry. He didn't throw the clay away. Aren't you glad about that tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Now you're going to wake up in a few minutes. I know you are. You're really going to wake up. You're what it is. You're waterlogged. You've had so much rainwater that you're just waterlogged. But now you're going to wake up, you're going to dry off, and we're going to have church here tonight. The fire of the Lord's going to fall in this place tonight. You've come to worship a risen Savior. You're here tonight to worship the Lord. You're not here to please man. You're not here to be seen of man. You're here to worship a risen Savior who has brought you. How many miles has He brought you? Look where you were. Look where you're at right now. Are you glad about it? Are you glad about it? Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, let's give Him a wave offering just for a few minutes, if you will. Praise the Lord. Say it, buddy.
I'm empty and broken. I came back to Him.
Give me some.
So so scarred by sin, but He did not despair. He started over again. I'm less today. He didn't throw the clay.
Oh, I want you to sing it to Him. Fashion the clay.
me to stay. But when I stumble and I fall, and my vessel breaks, He just picks up all the broken pieces.
Hallelujah.
He doesn't throw the clay.
Be seated. Give our singers a nice hand tonight as they get ready to sing.
1, 2, 3.
At the Jordan, preached the coming of the Lord, baptizing everyone who would believe. Among the crowd that gathered, there were watching from the shore. I'd imagine there were scribes and Pharisees. I can see John pointing toward Jerusalem that day, to the place of temple sacrifice, saying through the years those lambs have never washed our sins away. But hope is here, behold the Lamb of God. Put out the fire, here comes the glory. Your sacrifice is not as worthy. He's come to die, to make us holy. We found the perfect Lamb, put out the fire. Spoke up at the temple, sent a message to the world that every sin of man would have a price. Daily as the priest prepared an offering for the Lord, the purest of all lambs would have to die. But then John saw the promise walking down old Jordan's banks, the answers to the cries of all the lost. He knew up at the temple things were soon about to change. The altar would forever be the cross. Put out the fire, here comes the glory. Your sacrifice is not as worthy. He's come to die, to make us holy. Found the perfect Lamb, put out the fire. He was prophesied to raise out of the seed of Abraham, coming by a virgin down in lowly Bethlehem. The one whose angels worshiped since before the world began has stepped into the Jordan as the spotless Lamb. Put out the fire, here comes the glory. His sacrifice is not as worthy. He's come to die, to make you holy. We found the perfect Lamb, put out the fire. Put out the fire, here comes the glory. Your sacrifice is not as worthy. He's come to die, to make us holy. We found the perfect Lamb, put out the fire. Your sacrifice is not as worthy. We found the perfect Lamb, put out the fire.
The Lord. Amen. Appreciate that song, don't we? Brother Harry's going to give us a song tonight just before Brother Donnie comes. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me. I want you to listen to this as he sings it tonight.
Hallelujah. Well, that's what we're all waiting for, ain't it? Hey, you guys, thank you.
I have stood for the gospel when it seemed I stood alone. Through the heartaches and frustrations, I kept my focus on the throne. So many times I have recalled the Savior's words so true. If you won't be ashamed of me, I won't be of you. So I proudly stand until I see the face of the one who gave everything for me. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, every battle that I've fought will fade from memory. I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees. And the reason that I'm standing stands in front. It's not been easy. At times I've lost my way. So often I've stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall. When the whispering of doubt and fear told me you would lose it all, but He kept me with His amazing grace. And someday soon I'll have the chance to thank Him face to face. And the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me. Every battle that I memory, I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees. And the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me. We will join the millions, every kindred, tongue, and race. Every child of God that day will get to look upon His face. And the heroes and the martyrs who died on the pagan soil will all stand together.
Absolutely nothing in this world that I long for any greater than that. Amen. If I could be the richest man in all the world, whatever that would be. If I could own the most property, whatever that you would accumulate and think would be the greatest satisfaction that would bring a mortal, nothing could satisfy when I've been able to see Him. Amen. Amen. Don't you guys feel that way?
Amen.
Let's turn to Psalms 29 tonight, if you would. Psalms 29, verse 2. Harry, put the songbook behind this instead of in front of it. Behind instead of in front. Psalms 29, 2. There you go. Given to the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalms 110 verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. Now let's read verse 3 again. I know it seems complicated. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Now this is a messianic psalm, these verses here, verse 2 and 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties, plural, of holiness. From the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, how we so love you and appreciate you. Lord, I was thinking today, what a privilege that we have again tonight to be able to assemble in the house of God, to come and sing and worship and hear the word and be able to adore you and be able to turn in prayer requests and testimonies. And Lord, I'm not sure before the bride leaves this place if we'll always have this opportunity. But I know one thing, if it's taken from me, I want to make so many memories. I want to make sure that I show up every time that's within my power. And not only be there, but do my very best when I arrive. Lord, whether I'm preaching or not, whether I'm singing or not, that doesn't really matter. I understand how some folks are. If they're singing, all the service was great. Some preachers, the only time they get in the word is when they're preaching, which lets me know that they're more turned on of them preaching than they are the word itself. Some singers, the only time they can worship is when they're doing the singing, which shows they're an entertainer and not a worshiper. But Lord, we're not coming to entertain. And Lord, we want to come and receive from the word. Lord, I want to be able to say amen whether I'm preaching or not. I want to be able to sing and rejoice whether I'm doing the singing or not, because I am a worshiper. Father, I pray that you'd speak to us tonight. May we be benefited, Lord, as we've put forth the effort to be here. May the presence of God, I pray, come and speak to us those things which we have need of. May we be benefited eternally, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you again tonight on the King and the Galleries, and then the subtitle of the Gallery of Worship. Acceptable worship must take its character from the divine nature of God. When we talk about worshiping God in the beauty of holiness, depending on your perception of what holiness is, many of you probably think it's because a woman has a long dress, because men don't have long hair, and we don't wear tattoos or gold rings around our necks or things like that. And that is a display of holiness, but that's not all that holiness is. And that's certainly not what David was talking about when he said worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness, for it is the Hebrew word kodesh, which is set apartness or being sanctified. And we know that that is revealed in the Word, especially in the New Testament, in three stages. How that holiness is made known: consecration to God, likeness to God, and the divine nature of God. So each of those, one leads into the other. So it goes from the lowest, and then it goes up to the sacrificial or the traditional type, and then it comes into that which can only be created by God Himself. So consecration is a dedication to God, being set apart or set aside for a work that God has called us to do. But yet the last one is a likeness to God, which only God Himself can be able to impart. Man in the beginning was created in the image of God. And whenever, of course, man fell, then that image was gone. By the first transgression of man, holiness left Adam and Eve. Then that put the man to where that it made him
his body, his spirit, and his soul to where from that point on they catered toward unrighteousness and things that were unholy. So then God desired to bring back that man. We were formed, then deformed, and then we must be transformed by the power of God. Only God can be able to do that in order to bring us back and restore that holy image which man lost. Now, according to what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You see, fallen man is actually a temple that is in ruins. Now, if you can imagine, maybe some of you have traveled different parts of the world, and you've seen ancient temples that were actually worshipped by, whether it was the Moroccans or the Tibetans or whoever it was, and you see many of those. I've seen them on video and pictures of them, and you see them where they're hundreds and hundreds of years old. And you see that in time that the trees begin to take over again, and the forest will take it over, and there's gigantic, massive trees, and the roots are growing through the statues, and the roots are coming up through the sanctuary. And what's it doing? It is a temple that is in ruin. And if you can look at that, right, that's actually the way that you and I are whenever we are born into this world. We were made to be a house of God. We were made to be a temple, but when we're born, we are born a temple that is in ruin. So our temple is defaced, the glory of God is gone, and Ichabod is written over the temple door. But yet God is determined that the temple will be restored again. Now, for many of these ancient temples that are where they are today, they're too far gone, and actually man enjoys seeing them as they are, which is a great parallel of the way sinners are today, that they enjoy being where they are. They would rather be a temple in ruin than they would a new creation by the power of God. Aren't you glad you prefer the latter? Now watch, Paul says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man. So you're putting off one thing and you're putting on the other. So the idea is the renovated man by the power of God is made an upright and new creation, which only God himself can make. Now, you and I cannot, in the sense of putting on or making the new creation, but after the new creation has been shaped within the soul, then as we feed upon the Word and we're in the holy atmosphere of God, then the Spirit of God takes the Word that we are hearing and it begins to reshape and change us. And this is why that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. As we feed daily upon the Word, as we feed upon the presence of God and having divine fellowship with God, it is actually transforming and changing us from within. Now, we look many times on the outside, and since many of you quit smoking, quit drinking, laid aside the visible things on the outside, many of you haven't seen great changes on the outside, and you think nothing is happening. But it's happening from within. You see, the temple is being rebuilt from the inside out. And as we feed upon the Word and come into more harmony in that divine fellowship with God, as Paul said, that ye put on the new man. How do we put on something that's on the inside? Now, the new man, as far as the genos, the seed of God, it has been recreated inside the soul. So how do I put on something on the outside which is totally on the inside and I never have seen? I have absolutely no access to be able to go inside and get that new man and put him on the outside. So what do? As I feed upon the Word, as I'm renewed in the spirit of my mind, I actually, from the new man, from the inside, I put on from the soul the effects and the changes, and those changes are personified on the outside. So I am then putting on the new man. So it is the effect of the new creation of what God's done. I hope you understand. This is why, friend, that in the majority of the world of Christendom, there'll be so very, very few that'll actually really have the new birth. Now, there'll be many of them that will be Christians and will be saved. but not actually be new creatures in Christ Jesus. Many of them will be Christians, so-called, but they will never make saints, which is a great difference. Now, in that, the Spirit of God then brings us to that spot. As Paul says, you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So the idea is that the renovated man has been created into a new image by which only God can do. You and I cannot do this. It's totally out of our hands. So how do we do it? By the renewing of our mind. So through Christ, we are given a new position. Now, this is where I realize that we will differ with many of the people in the world as far as being Christians, because they feel like once you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive everything. But that's not apostolic teaching. As a matter of fact, the apostles believed on the Lord Jesus. They were sanctified to cast out devils, and they've done all kinds of things. And yet the Lord Jesus told Peter, when you are converted, strengthen your brothers. So Peter was saved, he was sanctified, but he didn't have the Holy Ghost. Now, how can you get the Holy Ghost in a lot of these denominational churches and they don't believe in it yourself? How can you get the Holy Ghost in a lot of these charismatic churches and they don't believe in it yourself? If you can get the true baptism of the Holy Ghost by taking Mass in a Catholic church, go get it. If you can get the true baptism of the Holy Ghost in a Baptist church and they're all wound up in denomination, go get it. But I'll tell you the way I look at it, if it's right according to the Scripture, in order to get the Holy Ghost, you got to go get it from people who have it themselves. So you can't go get a drink of water from a bucket of sand. You can't go get a piece of meat, you know, from someplace out here that don't sell meat. You've got to go to the place where it is in order to get it. So how can you go to all these churches and get the new birth when the majority of them don't even have it themselves? And the majority of preachers in the pulpit don't even have it themselves. Oh my. You see, as the mind begins to understand the truth of God, then it releases to the soul and the image begins to be transformed. And it is the word knowledge. Now, you know, to the Greeks, when they use the word knowledge, it would mean one thing. To the Jews, it would mean something entirely different. To the Greeks, being very analytical type people, people that love to study the word and they love to be able to go back and forth and they love poetry and all that, to them, knowledge was the accumulation of what you could say. And they would feed on talking, and more, the more you could talk about facts and figures, oh, you was just the greatest person that ever was. But to Jews, in the way that they looked at knowledge, it was more than knowing a bunch of stuff in your head. You also had an experience of what that product had produced in your life. So it actually done something for you. Now, this is the way that it's actually written. Paul said that you put on the new man, and new is recently made, fresh, recent, unused, unworn, which are recently made is superior to what it succeeds. That you put on the new man which after God is created. So here then we have a new man which is created after a new image. Now by the new birth, God is reinstilling or recreating the image of the invisible God in the human heart. Now this image is not created after the image of Adam. It is not created after the image of Moses or Abraham or any of the prophets. It's created after the image of the invisible God himself, which actually supersedes what Adam had. Oh my, praise the Lord. But now the body is indeed the same body, but it is a new creation in the same old temple. So the temple that we're speaking about is the soul, that if you can imagine in your mind that it is a temple in the forest and in the wilderness, and you go in and there at one time was where a God was worshipped, and yet the tree roots are going up through there, and there's monkeys going through all the windows, and all the sanctuary is defaced, and the glory of God is gone, and it about it's written over it, and all of a sudden something begins to happen. A light, as it were, begins to come from another realm and begins to permeate inside of that soul and makes a deposit about the size of that little button right there on my shirt. And then all of a sudden, from within that being, something begins to happen, and the word starts a materialization. Now the word had a long journey from the earth down to heaven. The word had a long journey from God through Isaiah and Jeremiah and all down through there, but the longest journey that the word has is from here to right here. Getting it down out of our head to where it's not just knowledge and quotes and scripture, but actually a living manifestation and an article inside of our hearts. And the church said, Now watch. Paul says then that image after which, after God is created, so the divine image is then restored to the soul. Now what we're getting to is true worshiper. So man by regeneration is restored to the original invisible image of the invisible God. Now when God creates man, he said he made man in his own image. And yet God is not a man. So God is a spirit. So God made man, not just Adam, but man, in his own image, and that was an invisible image. Now when that man fell, then what happened to him? Brother Bram tells us in Oneness with God, 1962, the holy image of God left him. So something went out of Adam. Now let me say it this way so you don't misunderstand me. Whatever Adam had, he could lose. Whatever Adam had, he could fall away from and backslide from. Hang on now. But what God is restoring us to is eternal. It can never be lost. It can never go back. Listen, friend, if you've got the true baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight, you are sitting in Christ Jesus in a place that Adam never even walked thousands of years ago. Now, I know that might be staggering to you because you're looking at his power to control the elements. Well, which is the most benefit? To control the elements or control yourself? What good does it do you to speak to a wind or speak to clouds or speak to a storm or speak to a bush somewhere, and if you can't even control yourself, what good does that do? Oh God, if I have the choice between the two, may God grant me the ability and the power to control my imagination, my conscience, my memory, my see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, that I can control me. Amen. Oh, glory. Notice this. So the principle of the soul is created. Watch this in Ephesians 2:10. The principle of the soul is created. Therefore, it is the elect only, of course, that will have this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So God's image, which we lost in Adam, has now been reinstated back by the new birth in Christ Jesus, the second Adam. Notice Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man. Now what's that again? He compares it to a changing of clothes. The old man, the new man. Now we're only able to do this once the new man comes from within. And if you notice how that Paul links this when he writes it, he links man in with this work of God. So he doesn't lay it totally in God's lap and someone like, God, you do this, and God, you do that, and God, you do that, and God, we don't really do anything else. We just sat down here on the earth, and we just enjoy it, and we don't have to really do anything. But notice the way Paul links it. He said, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. But how did you do that, though? Did you recreate yourself? You don't have the power of creation. Then how do you have the ability to put off the old man? Notice the key is the last word that ties the inside and the outside together. That you put off the old man with his deeds. God recreates something within the soul, and then the soul from within begins to discard the old clothing of the old nature. And the habits, oh my, the habits that you picked up out there in the world when you was a sinner, then you begin to discard those habits and those clothes and that music and all that sort of thing that was contrary. Not that you can do it from within your soul yourself. But after God has done the work within your soul, then you from the soul, the control tower, then you begin to discard. What are you doing? You're entering into further stages of separatedness or holiness in the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. We can only do this. Now this is where all the trouble is, friends, with people who think they're born again. Those who accept Christ as their Savior and they're convinced by some preacher, whatever more, that they're really born again. They got the Holy Ghost because when they believe, they got it. And then when they try to live right, they try to comply by what the divine nature of the Word says, and they find themselves they cannot do it. And then they fail. And then they go to the preacher. Well, God understands why you can't do it. You know, you're going to make mistakes, all this, that, and other. Well, they go on. They come back out, and they do more. and then they're doing more, and a lot of them get worse and worse and worse. Each time they're going back to the pastor, well, you know, God understands, I struggle too, and we all struggle. You know, we can't live right in this day. There's no way. We can't overcome sin in this day. You're listening, that kind of preacher, if I was you, I'd move. If you ain't got a preacher in the pulpit that's living a godly life, you better find you another preacher. Well, glory. You see, our spiritual circumcision in Christ that begins in the regeneration of the soul, it begins to work its way out. Then we put off the old man and his habits and his deeds. But we cannot do it until first the new man is within the soul. And many people have tried to do this and tried to do that and tried to do that. But the old man was still on the inside here. All they did was comply a little bit on the outside. And they let the hair grow, the sister did, and get long dresses and whatever. More. But that's backwards. There must be a new man in here. Then put your long dresses on the outside. Then get rid of this. Then stop doing that. Then it will work unto eternal life. Until that, you're an impersonator. Oh, hallelujah. The Greek verbs translated put off and put on indicate a once for all action. When we have a new birth, we put off the old life and put on the new. The old man has been buried and the new man is now in control. Now friends, this is a problem why so many folks can't live right in this day. The new man is not in the soul. Well, come on now, don't get quiet on me. Notice again, Paul says at Colossians 3:10, have put on the new man, which is renewed. And that isn't amazing that the new man is actually created by the Spirit of God inside of our souls. But once he is created, he needs constant renewal. Why in the world would you need renewal? It's the way God so did it. So the new man, notice what he said, which is renewed in knowledge. Now the new man is not renewed in emotion, yet we love to feel it. He's not renewed in speaking in tongues, so that's wonderful. But the new man is actually renewed in knowledge. This is not knowledge in the form of the way the Greeks looked at it, but it is knowledge in the sense of the way the Jews would use the word. It is a knowledge that as you learn, it releases something to you and helps you to be a better person. It don't just accumulate a bunch of things up here in your mind, but the more you find out. Don't you understand why we've got to find out if there's things wrong in our lives or if we're believing something wrong about this or that? And God has it preached. And that knowledge, what does it do? It releases to us a freedom. It releases to us an obedience that helps us obey that word because we didn't know about it before. Oh, thank you, Lord. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now we're talking about divine knowledge. A knowledge that as it is released to you as an individual, that it actually changes you more and more and more and renews you. And you're getting closer and closer and closer into that image of the Word. Praise be to God. Look at this word, new man, that Paul used. It is the Greek word neon. Now, all of you know what the color neon is. New one, neon blue, neon orange. It's a real vibrant type of color. Well, this is what you are. You are vibrant. Amen. You're not just the old guy patched up. You are bright orange. You are bright green. You are bright yellow. You understand? The new man is not a drab gray. He is not a shale blue or a slate blue. He is a bright neon pink. He is a bright neon green or a neon yellow. Because the new birth so makes you so opposite to your old pale self. Amen. Neon, and the Greek means the recently put on nature. The recently put on nature that lately received at regeneration. So now you're neon. So when you get the Holy Ghost, don't let me tell you one thing, brother, sister. Don't you think in your heart, now the devil ain't going to notice your neon. When you was out there in the world, you was an old drab gray or an old drab blue or whatever more. But once you got the Holy Ghost, all the hell realized, Lord have mercy. He's so bright, I can't even look at it. Have you noticed in the last few years how the state road departments in different states that I've traveled over the United States, that they're putting real bright orange or real bright green or real bright lime green, you know what I'm talking about, on the road construction crews? Why? But in order to save their lives and cause people from hitting them, and they put that on, and it just goes like this when your eyes see it. That's the kind of children of God we want to be. We want to be neon young boys and neon young girls and neon men and neon women, to where in that realm of the supernatural, our experience with God blasts the devil's eyeballs out. He can't even stand to look on us because we're so neon bright. Man alive, I want to be so neon bright the devil has to wear shades every time he gets around me. Don't you? Oh, some of y'all so sour and so gray and so mediocre, the devil can feel real comfortable. You ought to get changed. My, my. This young man's shirt right here and this young sister's sweater right here, that's dull compared to neon bright. That's dull compared to what God wants us to be. What is it the recently put on man? Oh, my. Notice in Romans 8:13, for if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, notice capital S. Now this is not human spirit, pneuma. This is not human spirit, but this is Holy Spirit. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And the word mortify, of course, is kill and bring into subjection. So we put on again, he says in Colossians 3:10, the new man which is renewed in the knowledge of him after him that created him. So the verb translated there, renewed, is a present participle, which means it is constantly being renewed. Now Paul knew exactly which one of these words to use. So he chose a present participle. Oh, come on, don't sit there and look at me like you don't know what a participle is. It ain't a popsicle, it's a participle. So Paul chose a participle which was not something that had just happened in the past, and that was the end of it. Well, I had an experience years ago, and now I'm in my rocking chair. I'm just sitting here now till Jesus comes. But Paul chose a word that he said it's going to be powerful when it happens. It's going to be hard. It's going to be powerful week one, week two, week three, year one, decade two. It'll go right on renewing itself after you've got it, because it is an unfolding of God's nature. Oh, oh my. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. My love is having put on the new man, he said, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Listen to this. So Christians become increasingly like the Lord as an epinosa, a knowledge of understanding begins to come clear in their lives. It's like God shares more and more and more of himself, and the more he shares, the more it changes them. Amen. Now watch. We were formed in God's image. All man was. We were deformed by Satan. Now he cannot create, but he had the ability to deform. So then that takes us as the temple of God, defaces us, deprives us of the glory of God, our rights, and our inheritance. But God must make a way. So he will not reform us in that sense, and it won't do any good to deform us again. So what he will do is transform us. Now, many of you know what transformers are electrically. In all of this equipment up here, there's transformers by your house somewhere. There's one maybe up the street, down the street. And they're able, the power companies over to Pavilion have those gigantic ones there. And they're able to run such thousands and thousands of volts into a substation. But yet you would not want to run those volts into your house. So they'll run the main line and they'll run so many volts down the line, and then they'll have a transformer out on the pole, and then it'll work on that electricity. It's the same with this organ here and some of these amplifiers and things that are around. It's 110, 120, it goes in, and there'll be a big transformer on the back of it. Then on the inside, it will reduce the voltage to 12 or 18 or 24, depending on what it is, on the inside, and it makes it much cooler to operate. It makes it much more economical, and it also makes it a lot cooler as far as the fan blowing it and so on, and it's not near as dangerous to work on. So you run that power through it, and it transforms it, and it comes on the other side. Now, if you run 110 into a transformer, and you come out on the other side of that transformer 110, somebody help me understand this. What's the use in having a transformer? So if you take a sinner and run him through a church doctrine, and he comes out on the other side, and he still does exactly the same things, except now he's just got the title on him, he's a Christian. I don't understand the power of transformation. What I understand transforming is that you run a man who can't live without drinking. He can't live without smoking. And you run that man's life through the power of a transformer, and that man comes out on the other side. He is so full of the Holy Ghost, he won't drink no more. He won't smoke no more. He won't commit adultery no more. Why? He's run through the transformer. So God wants to totally transform our lives and eventually do the same thing to our bodies. Oh, hallelujah. Now watch this in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Listen in verse 2. Oh my. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. So the Old Testament worshiper were not purged. But they'd go and offer a lamb, a turtle dove, a pigeon, whatever it was, and they'd make their worship to God. If they walked in there and they, God, I committed adultery with another man's wife, I'm sorry. God, I cheated my brother, he had so much money. God, I've done this and I've done that. God, I'm sorry, I pray you'd forgive me. And he'd come and he'd lay his sins upon that lamb, and he'd come to the high priest and he'd turn and walk away, and the man would walk away with the exact same desire in his heart that he had before he ever offered the lamb. So he still wanted to commit adultery, he still wanted his neighbor's wife, he still wanted his neighbor's money. Right? But the worshiper, if God could ever get the worshiper to where the worshiper would be purged of the desire to sin, then the worshiper would be purged one time. It would put him over on the side of God, never to sin again. I hope you brought your wading boots on, because we're going to need them shortly. The worshiper, once purged, would have no more conscience or desire to sin. Amen. Now, the remembrance of sin humbles us. The remembrance of things that we have done wrong makes us feel terrible, doesn't it? Unless we're reprobate, of course. But once God is able to bring us to a place beyond just conscience, that conscience would condemn us, to remove the desire. Notice this, faith in the Son of God. The Bible said the worshiper, once purged, has no more conscience or no more desire of sin. And if you still have the desire, you haven't been purged yet. That's just one thing, sure. If you still have a desire in your heart to go out and lust and sin, just remember, my friend, you need to come back to God, back to the altar, for we are sowed with the incorruptible seed of God. And the church said, oh my. Let me read another one. If you believe them, them little immoral things will just drop off like that. As you believe, listen to this, as you believe, you become love. makes that wonderful. As you believe, you become love. And love is God. And you begin to wind yourself into Christ and these other things. You don't have to quit doing them. They just quit themselves. There's just no desire to do it. The worshiper, having purged, had no more conscience or desire of sin. Hebrews 9. The worshiper wants purged. See what I mean? When the worshiper is purged, it's when he is born again. When his old nature dies and a new nature sets in. Oh, if I could quit drinking. Oh, if I could quit running around. I know I ain't supposed to run around on my wife. I know I ain't supposed to, but I want to. Oh, I know I ain't supposed to get hound dog, but I want to. I want to. I want to. Then that part needs to be purged out of you. Notice he said when the old nature dies and a new nature sets in, then he becomes a part of God, a son of God. He gets new life. And life is, the Greek word there is zoe, which means the life of God. And you become an offspring of God. And God can't hurt you without hurting himself. Now friends, we're getting into worshipers. I said, now we're getting into worshipers. This ain't folks have to beg to come to church. They don't get to play the guitar, they ain't coming back. They don't get to sing so many times a month, they ain't coming back. When are y'all ever going to realize church ain't about you? This church is not about operating about you, letting you sing or you play the guitar or you play the drums or you play the bongos or whatever more. This is a family. This is a move of God. It's an entirety. It's not even just about me. It's not just about you as an individual. If there's one individual it's about him. All the rest of us fit together as a body. Now watch. Again he said, every man that's ever born of the Spirit of God takes on a nature that he can't digest the world no more.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Can you imagine your wife fixing concrete eggs for you in the morning? Titanium bacon? Chrome biscuits? Why y'all laughing? You think that's funny, do you? It would be just as easy for you to eat concrete eggs. It would be easier for you to eat concrete eggs than it is a born again son or daughter of God to ever sin. Totally impossible. If an almighty God, which cannot sin, gives birth to children, he cannot sin, he cannot cause sin, he cannot create sin, but he gives birth to children who can't keep from sinning. What kind of daddy you got? Something happened to your DNA. If a God, which cannot sin, ever gives birth, what will the offspring be? People who cannot sin. I know I'm leaving you hanging. I'm doing it on purpose. Oh, my. Notice he says if a man's ever born of the Spirit of God and takes on a nature that he can't digest the world no more. For you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God's not even in you. He goes on to say the worshiper, once purged, has no more conscience, or the right interpretation of that, has no more desire of sin. For the worshiper, once purged, has no more desire or conscience of sin. He doesn't even want to sin. He will do things wrong. And as soon as he does it, he will confess his sins right there and say, God, forgive me. I didn't mean to do that. Well, you say it's the same thing. Oh, no, it's not the same thing at all. Well, I thought you said anybody born of God can't sin. They can't. But he just said people make mistakes. That's right. That ain't the same thing. Praise the Lord. You know it. Oh, he said God never sees it. He has has an advocate. He has a confession. But the man who goes ahead and sins and says, well, I belong to a church, don't make any difference. Just shows right there and proves he hasn't got what he said he's got. No, sir. You can't draw bitter and sweet water from the same fountain. Can I go on? Christ died once, and through the breaking of his blood cell, not sex, God himself, putting your hand one time on the head of him, Lord have mercy. Putting your hand one time, not once a week, not once a month, not once every time you make a mistake, but putting your hand one time, hallelujah, putting your hand one time upon the head of him and confessing your sin and feeling the things of Calvary when he died a sinner in your stead. You'll have no more conscience of sin after that. The worshiper, once purged by the blood of Jesus, has no more desire to sin. Don't say you won't sin, but you have no desire to do it. No more desire. Brother Donnie, sounds like to me you're saying two things. Well, let me compound that for you. 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ the righteous. He is a perpetuation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. Same man, under the same influence of the same Holy Ghost. Chapter 3, verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. How in the world could John say, here, the little children don't sin, but I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that you're going to do things that you're going to regret and you're going to feel sorry for. But if you do, we have an advocate with the Father. And then it comes right over here in the very next chapter and says, whosoever commits sins is of the devil. Right. If I was you, I'd go ahead and leave. Oh, the getting's good, because this fixing really get tough on your old hide. Look at this word. Oh, my Lord, children, listen to this. He that committeth to be the authors of. The cause. To provide a thing for oneself, to put one forth, to make one do something, cause one to. Habitually, willfully, characteristically. You see, when we were snake bit, we all did this by will. We did this habitually. We did this characteristically. What? Sinned. But once we become born again, the snake was taken out of our heart. So the cause of habitual sin is absolutely annihilated. And you will make mistakes, but it ain't coming from the soul out. It's pressing you from the flesh in. Oh, hallelujah to God. And it will, as you submit to the power of God, it will give you such power over your flesh, it'll make your body subject to the word. Amen. He that committeth sin. He that is the author. You see, for our unconverted soul, we were the authors. We were the authors of our sins. We were the authors of the evil and all the unregenerated things that we did. How filthy and how ungodly that we are. It was authored from within our very own soul, and we committed or we authored it habitually, willfully, characteristically. Notice how John said this. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. The word sinneth implies continued and habitual sin. He does not commit one act of sin and then reform. But he has continued and still continues his course of sin. Now, for those who come to Christ and do not have the ability to overcome, and they are continually forming on the habitual habitual, willful characteristic sin of whatever more it is in their life. This is the trait, not of the Spirit of God, but the devil. If your Holy Ghost don't give you overcoming power, you need to get rid of yours and get mine. Because you got a Laodicean version. You need this Acts 2 version. It gives you power over sin. Come on, gentlemen. It gives you the ability to overcome. Now, because John identifies those who habitually and willfully and characteristically sin over and over and over and over and over, same thing or same two or four things, whatever it is, over and over and over, they can't overcome it. They can't quit it. John's looking and said, that is of the devil. Now, he's not saying their destination is sealed unto Satan, but he's looking at the parental traits in this offspring and seeing it is not of God. Why? Because the devil sins over and over and over and over. He ain't stopped sinning since he started sinning in the beginning. And it is the nature of the devil to keep on sinning over and over and over and over and over. And that's why it grieves you if you've got the Holy Ghost when you make a mistake. Because when the flesh falls in the habitual line of what is alarming and goes along with Satan, then that spirit inside of you said, oh God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me, Lord. Why? Because you sinned against your Father, the Holy Ghost. Oh, you see, look at this word, how the John goes on with it. He that committeth sin is of the devil. He who makes sin his constant business and the employment of his life, whose life is a continued series of sinning. He is of the devil. Why would John say that? Because he's doing what the devil does. The devil has been ongoing with this series of sin since he fell in heaven when sin started. So he had one sin, then he had another, he's got another. He's sinning right now. He's sinning more than all the people of the age put together. He is continually sinning. So when we who profess to be Christians do not have the power to overcome sin, we're acting like him, not like him. The devil is a full-time sinner. Right? So people who are not born of God, now they may be Christians, they may be saved, but you can only become unemployed and rendered idle being a full-time sinner when you're born again. Now when you're born again, you lose your job working for the devil. Now at one time we were all habitual, willful, characteristic, full-time sinners. Come on children, don't sit there and look at me. Oh, some of y'all didn't drink, some of y'all didn't run around, but some of y'all had a tongue about 14 foot long, 3 foot wide, 18 inches deep. And my goodness, you butchered everybody in the church coming and going. And well, some of us didn't have Facebook in them days, thank God. But now you do it on Facebook, and yet you consider yourself an overcomer. If you can't control these right here with what they say on Facebook, you still ain't got the Holy Ghost. I realized a long time ago, Facebook gives a lot of our women a pulpit to preach in. And a lot of you men too. Ooh, burn, sting, ouch, smell, oh God help us. Some of y'all be better off if you never opened that stupid thing on Facebook in the first place. You can go to fussing and fighting and this, that, and other. Look friends, I'd rather get rid of it. I'd rather not have nobody ever know I ever existed than that thing to steal my joy. Some of you are so addicted to that thing you can't even go an hour without looking at it. You've got to read this and read that and the other. You'd be better off for reading the Holy Word of God and reading the message of the hour. Why? It's what you feed on will make who you are. He that committeth, he that is fully employed to sinning, is of the devil. Why? Because that's what the devil is. You know what his job is? Be the devil. Well, there's one thing we got to say about him. He is a good one. You know why? He commits everything he has to it. Now those who continue to sin on and on, and no matter what they say here, if they are committing constantly over and over and over and over and cannot live an overcoming life, they are not living the life of Christ.
Amen.
He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth, ongoing, continually, on and on and on and on, from the beginning, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. One of the words that Paul uses, another one of the epistles here, is to render idle or unemployed. Praise God. Don't you see why he don't want you to get the Holy Ghost? Don't you see why he's going to lose one of his famous employees? He's going to lose one of his greatest employees if you ever get the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Oh my, the devil said, oh no, not her. Oh no, not him. Oh surely not. Oh my, boy, I lost a good employee then. I'm telling you one thing, and God said, I gained a good one. I mean, I gained one. I absolutely rendered him unemployed, idle. They'll have to stand in the unemployment line, devil. They'll never be a sinner again. They will never habitually sin. They will never willfully sin. They will never characteristically sin again. It is totally impossible. Notice verse 9. Hang on. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. You say that's impossible. I agree. I agree. It is totally impossible for you that's born again to commit sin. No, that wasn't what I meant. I mean it's totally impossible for a person to be like that. No, it's totally impossible for a person who's like that to commit sin. Now we're getting to worshipers. Whosoever is born of God does not commit. Now look at this contrast, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. But whosoever is born of God, what are we looking at? Two parental lines. Two gene pools. He that commits sin is acting like his father. Because his father continuously sins. He that does not and cannot and never will, impossible for him to, is reflecting his father. Brother Donnie, does that mean ain't none of us? No, 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 no. Don't you run ahead of me. I'm the one that's got these notes, not you. Now listen, John says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. But the key is finding out whosoever. So what is it that's born of God? Some of y'all should have been shouting about it right now. Is this born of God? Is your spirit born of God? Hallelujah! Well, what's born of God? The soul. So the soul being born of God cannot sin willfully. This can make mistakes. This will do things wrong. And the inside will convict you. But once that soul has been rendered unemployed, that soul will never by its will ever sin again. It is totally impossible. That's where we're to put that man out here. Hallelujah to God. Whosoever is born of God does not. The word here that Paul, that John uses rather, whosoever is born of God, he uses the same sense that Paul uses in Colossians. He uses a perfect participle, which means past actions with results continuing to the present. Past action with results smell. Oh, glory to God. Whosoever is born, past action, continuing on with the results right in the present. And if it's going on into the present, I believe I can say with all assurance, it will go right on into the future. Then it will keep me tomorrow. It will keep me next year. It will keep me 10 years from now. Why? It is a past reaction that holds the continuity of eternal life. Oh, whosoever is born of God. Let me read this to you again. The perfect participle, past action with results continuing to the present, has been and remains born. Has been and remains born. I has been born of Don and Betty Reagan, and I remains born to this night. I said I was born by Don and Betty Reagan July 9, 1956, 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, something like that, and I'm still living on that verse. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. I got born again in my soul. It was an experience that happened many years ago, but the results are still ongoing tonight. Notice, my birth may be the strain, but my strength sure ain't. Woo! Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now you take this same words from verse 8. Does not make it his trade. And business is not the course of his life. He does not live and walk in sin or give himself up to it. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Oh my Lord. For his sperma. I thought Brother Branham was the one who introduced this seed stuff. You need to read on further back in the Bible. Brother Branham come to restore us back to this original stuff that was sowed in the apostolic church.
You mean them apostles believed God had a seed? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin for or because he has short hair and she has long hair and she wears dresses and they pay their tithes and they give them the offerings. This is the reason. This is the reason. For his seed.
Glory.
Aren't you glad it ain't based on your courage and your faithfulness and your goody, goody, goody? His seed. The Greek word sperma. Issue. From which a plant germinates. The grain or kernel which contains within itself the germ of the future plants. Metaphorically, it's this. A residue, a few survivors reserved as the germ of a new race. Don't you understand? We are the survivors. We are the survivors, Harry, out of this age. We are the survivors, Brother Jim, out of this age. There are, oh glory to God, a new race. Oh my, a few survivors reserved as the germ of a new race. Children, offspring, progeny, family, whatever possesses vital force or life-giving power, the Holy Spirit, the divine energy operating within the soul by which we are regenerated. That's what's in you. That's why when you do wrong and you feel like quitting, the seed won't let go. You've let go how many times, but the seed won't let go. Your courage has gone down. Your strength has gone down, but the seed won't let go. You're a survivor.
The new nature is formed by God and the soul. And his seed remains in him. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot. Glory to God. He cannot sin because he is born of God. Chew on that a while, devil. Children, we ought to be rejoicing in our souls to know what has happened to us. Our business of sinning, our business of lying, our business of living the way we were. We went bankrupt. And we put up a sign on the door, gone out of business forever. Amen. But then you went over here and opened up a new shop under a new name and under a new nature. And now you've got a wedding shop. Hallelujah. And you're married to Christ the Word. And you're running a new business under a new administrator. Hallelujah. Listen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. So ask yourself the simple question. Where is the seed of God? Where is it? Is it the flesh? Is it your spirit? Is it your mind? Is it your intellect? Where is it? Your soul. His seed and your seed. Glory. That cannot sin. No. Impossible. My soul, if it's born of the Spirit of God, can no more sin than Jesus Christ himself could sin. Now, is this body right here subject to lies? Now, I won't ask how many of y'all told one this week, or since you got saved, or pulled a little crooked deal, or done this, that, and the other. But if you're born of the Spirit of God, that master on the inside said, you make that thing right. You straighten that thing out. Why? Because it's not your business to sin. And he can't sin nohow. And he can't stand to live in a vessel that sinned. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed to the day of your redemption. You can't operate two businesses under the same premises. You can't have a sinning business and a forgiving business in the same roof. You got to be one or the other. You're going to make up your mind which one you want and which one you want to be. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And I am going to possess my vessel in sanctification and honor. You notice the way Paul worded that. He separated you from the vessel. Why? Because you are not the vessel. This Gatorade right here is not me. Okay? But now it's a part of me. But in a little while, through the processes of my body, it'll be excreted through the natural processes. It'll pass from me. Right? A person can be saved, jump around, shout, hallelujah, glory to God. But unless they become a part by nature, they'll pass through the tribulation period. Brother, sister, if we are born by the Spirit of God, then we can enter into worship because we are the sperma
of God Himself. Hallelujah.
And when you do something wrong or say something wrong or lose your temper, anybody's ever done it? Come on now, the rest of you. Does that mean you're a sinner? No. You cannot be a sinner and filled with the Holy Ghost at the same time. Did you do wrong? Sure you did. But that part that's born of you, born of God, on the inside of you, can never sin. Now listen to me. Whatever you have tonight, you've already been restored further back than Adam started. Because Adam lost what he had and fell away from it. But if you've got this tonight, you'll never lose it. Whatever it was that Adam had, that holy image that was in him, it left him and he backslid and he got away from God. But God has so restored the image now, you will never, never get away from it. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, because the regenerated individual shows a complete incompatibility with sin. There is no compatibility with the new man and sin at all. But there's still compatibility with this. This can get lazy. This cannot pray and not read the Bible, and it'd rather go to Dollywood than go to church, or it'd rather, you know, read a cooking magazine than read the Bible. That's this. Because the sperma ain't here. It's in here. You love Him, saints. Oh, praise God. Let's bow our heads together. Those who are born of God will not be habitual, willful, characteristicful sinners. They cannot. Totally impossible. You cannot sin. That born again part cannot sin. The practice of sin is contrary to the nature of the man or the woman that's born again. Praise God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that You would open our hearts to this tonight. Lord, if I fail to make it clear and bring it to where they could understand it, I pray the Spirit of God would take it and make it fruitful to their understanding, Lord. Dear Jesus, we desire to be this kind of people. Father, we know and believe truly this is the greatest lack among us, of people who have what they think is a new birth. And many of them were so changed under the power of justification and sanctification that it would be easy for them to believe that they have received the new nature. But yet, Lord, we know in time it comes out and then they revert back to old ways, or sometimes even worse than they were before. Lord, we know this is no hour to play church. If there's any here tonight, Lord Jesus, that don't have it or they're uncertain, would You come by this way, Lord, and make it real to them? As we looked at it Wednesday night, Lord, how long has it been since You've placed it on my heart to preach several services together along this line? Oh, Lord, I thank You, though, because it lets me know there's people yet to receive it, apparently. Dear Jesus, for those of us who have received it, may we never enter into a slacking stage to where we're slothful. But may we understand that we must be renewed day by day. As we are what we eat, so are we what we think. And our appetite reflects the things that we feed upon. And as we think, as the scripture says, a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The direction that we meditate and ponder has a great deal to do with our spirituality. Help us, Heavenly Father. I'm convinced many of these people have been born again. That new man is there. But then, Lord, after you've done that work of creation, then it's left up to us to pick up and continue the work of renewing. You don't tell us to do the creation. We cannot. But you do tell us to continue on the work of reading and studying and praying and all those, because that renews that man. Then the new man from the inside, as we let him gain control, he begins to change the habits on the outside. And we begin to look and act and talk more and more and more like you want us to be. Help us tonight, Lord Jesus, I pray. Deal with every heart according to where they are. Start with me tonight, would you, Lord? Lord Jesus, I open myself before you here tonight. If there's anything in me that displeases you, anything about me, Lord, that you don't like, make it known to me, Lord God. Search me. Scan me, as it were. See if there's anything you see, Father. If there's any person in the world that I've wronged or harmed that I need to go to, let me know this night. I'll make it right. Lord Jesus, I want to be right more than anything in this world. Oh, hallelujah. Help us tonight, Father. We worship you, Lord. How many feels that same way tonight? Would you just raise your hands to God, Lord? Search me. Look at me, Lord. See if there's anything in me that displeases you. Just tell him, children. Just open your heart to him now. Amen. Oh, how happy you ought to be tonight if you have passed from death into life and that seed of God is down in your soul. Praise God. You will never, ever willfully, habitually sin again. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord God. We bless your holy name, Lord Jesus. Now, friends, in view of this is where we can find St. John 4. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers of God will worship him in spirit and in truth. Let us worship him in the beauty of holiness. Let us worship him in the beauties of his holiness, coming from the womb of the morning, when his youth is yet strong, when his people will be identified in the day of his power. Hallelujah. Oh, have you only understood that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, Jesus, we worship you, Lord. We've got a couple of children tonight that's going to be baptized. Let them come prepare for that. Well, they do. Let's just worship him now a little bit. How many believes you've heard the truth tonight? Now, if you've received that truth into your being, now we want to worship in spirit and in truth. So we want to walk down the gallery together with the King. We are not now coming as worshipers of the Old Testament, unconverted, without a nature change, but standing there, sons and daughters of God, with his very own nature in us. Amen. So let's worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, many of you wait for the Spirit to move on you to where you're able to worship. I understand that to a degree. But I already have the Holy Ghost. And I already have the truth. The anointing moving on me, that's wonderful. But even if the anointing don't come, Brother Jim, I can still worship him in spirit and in truth. For I am in spirit and I am in truth. I worship him by virtue of the nature of who I am. I am spirit and I am truth. Truth is not something I pack under my arm. It's something that's living in my heart. I am a written epistle, known and read of all men.
Come on, children, don't resent that. Truth is just not a tape we put in a tape player. Truth is not a book you hold under your arm. We must become this living word manifested. That we can stand as the truth of God in the last days. This is why Paul said that it is the ground and pillar of truth, the church. He called the church the ground and the pillar of truth. So it wasn't that truth was under the church. The church was under the truth, supporting the truth. Can you imagine the early apostles preached this gospel for nearly 30 years without one written word in the New Testament? How in the world did they preach without a Bible? They had one. Living epistles. You understand? You mean they preached for all them years and didn't even have a New Testament to take the text out of? Praise God. Praise God. Amen. They were that word. I'm glad God had it written down. Aren't you? I'm glad God had it written down. But let's not just be so in our minds, oh, you know, written. Let it also be lived and spoken and manifested. Oh, let's sing together. I love Him. I love Him. Because He first loved me. Let's sing it now while they're preparing for baptism. Oh, how does it feel tonight? How does it feel tonight to be born of God? The sperm of the Almighty. I love. Praise God. Close your eyes now. Raise your hands. I love you because He first loved me. Before I could even choose Him and purchase my salvation. Yes, Lord Jesus. On Calvary's once again. Oh, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving us, Lord, when we were unlovable. I love Him because Jesus first loved. Thank you, Lord God. And purchased my salvation. Oh, Calvary.
Got Sister Savannah Jackson here tonight. She's 9 years old. The Lord has been dealing with her heart for quite a while. Her parents just been praying with her, and they just feel like it's time. And she's wanting to be baptized tonight, so we're going to baptize. Let's just bow our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, I stand in this water here tonight, Lord, so humble.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lord, this young lady here, Father, taking a stand for You in this wicked, wicked age, Lord.
Yeah.
And Father, we're just asking tonight for Your grace and Your mercy with her, Lord.
Yeah.
Father, we pray You'd be with her every step of the way, Lord. I pray when she comes out of this water, Lord, that she'll just live for You every day of her life, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, that You'll just bless her and be with her. Lord, may she be just a pillar of faith, Lord. Just a real outstanding Christian among her peers, Lord. And I pray You just watch over and keep her in all she does, Lord. We just commit her to You tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Sister Savannah, I now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
We've got our brother Grant here, and I can tell you right now, he'll be a fireball for God. He says he's ready, so we're going to baptize him. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for my little brother here, Lord. I just ask again for your blessings on him, Lord. I just thank you, Father, for families that bring their children to the house of God, Lord. And they hear your word, Lord. They feel your presence, Lord. And they have this desire in their heart to serve you, Lord. I just thank you for that, Father. It's such a blessing. Lord, we just pray your blessings on our brother. Pray that you'd always be with him and keep him. May God, he always put you first in everything he does, Lord, because we know that you are faithful. Lord, you will be faithful to him if he's faithful to you, Lord. So we just give him to you now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Brother Grant, I now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Brother Scott, some of these other brothers here, myself, can be able to baptize you in water. But only God can take you and pull you up a pickle. Me and Carol was eating lunch yesterday at Red Lobster, and the lady brought our salads out, and she said, I forgot to tell you all, we don't have any cucumbers in the salad. And she said for a month or 2 months, I forget how many weeks it's been now, she said salmonella broke out in a lot of the places where they're raising cucumbers. So we've not had any cucumbers in our salad due to salmonella. She said, I just wanted y'all to know that. So she turned and walked away, and I looked at Carol and told her, I said, another good reason to be a pickle. I think a lot of cucumbers around the message have got salmonella. They're sick and they're making a lot of other folks sick. But you know what? A good old saturated baptized cucumber don't get salmonella. All that vinegar and all that stuff down inside there, a salmonella devil can't even hold his breath in there long enough. That's the way it is. I'll tell you, brother, with a good baptized soul and the Holy Ghost, why, count camel, pale male, can't even hold on down in that baptism of the Holy Ghost. Old Jack Daniels and old turkey and all the rest of that stuff, it can't hang on down inside a real Holy Ghost baptized saint that's filled with the power of God. Why, that soul cannot sin. Oh, hallelujah. God, aren't you happy in our children to be regenerated by the power of God? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing that old-fashioned song, He Set Me Free. Oh, glory to God. Let's sing it a little bit before we go. Hallelujah, once like a bird in prison I dwelt. No freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me. Oh, glory to God. He set me free. Yes, He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison. World shout He set me free. Oh, goodbye to sin and things that confound. Oh, naught of this world shall turn me around. Glory! Daily I'm praying, I'm working, I'm listening to tapes too. Let's sing that chorus you were singing together before I came out. He's an on-time God. Let's sing it together. How many believes it? Oh, praise God. I said He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Sing it now. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Sing in the morning. Go in the fear of God. Love one another on time.